There are so many different ways around the world, around our country, different religions, different cultures. So many ways to deal with this universal fact. We are all mortal. Therefore, we all suffer loss. We all, one way or another, have to cope with grief. Lots of different ways. I had a stark lesson in two very different approaches to the fact of grief and loss. In 2016, I was living in Oaxaca, Mexico at the time, and saw a feature magazine article online about a 50th anniversary in October 2016. It was the 50th anniversary of a terrible disaster in Wales, Aberfan, Wales. A small town, if you're a watcher of The Crown, you know this by now. But maybe it's news to you as it was to me in 2016. Aberfan, like many Welsh towns, is a mining town, coal mining. And like many of those towns, it had a huge, what they call a tip, a huge pile to rival the hills of that gorgeous, gorgeous part of the world, South Wales. Tip made of stones, soil, bits of coal, coaly dust, all the stuff that comes up from a mine in the process of taking out the usable coal. Well, that tip had been piled on top of a living spring. And in October of 1966, it rained and rained and rained. And the tip began to liquefy, and it slid down the hill like a black avalanche onto the town. It slammed into about 16 houses with about 3 dozen people in them, and the junior school, what we would call an elementary school. 116 of this small town's children died that day, and a few dozen adults, including most of the teachers in the school. How does a tiny community move on from that? They had their rituals. They had a funeral for everyone. The queen and Prince Philip came to the town. They had the attention and sympathy of the world. It was one of the first televised disasters and disaster recovery processes there in 1966. What struck me also reading this 50 years on article is how many times it said that somebody the reporter was talking to was speaking about it for the first time. Survivors, people who were children then who said, I lost all my playmates. Or, we used to play in the streets, but we couldn't do that with our neighbors who had lost children, seeing us through the windows, hearing us out in the street. And so they stopped playing, or they took their play to quiet places outside town, like the river that was, at the time, black with coal. It wasn't the kind of time or place where therapists came in to make sure that everybody could talk to somebody. And a lot of the advice that people got, whether they had lost a child or a family member or just a member of the town, since everybody knew someone closely, everyone was closely affected, they were generally advised, put your head down, move on. There's work to be done. There's children who still need an education and your care. You got to be strong. Carry on. At the same time, as I said, I was living in Oaxaca. Oaxaca in October. Everybody has their faces painted. They're dressed as Katrina and the Caballero of the dead. They are building ofrendas, altars such as this one, radiant with marigolds, cempasúchiles, which are the flowers of the dead. Everywhere in the streets, in the shops, in everybody's home, including ours. These altars filled with flowers and photos and the foods that were beloved of their beloved dead. And then, by invitation, of course we wouldn't have imposed, but by invitation we went on Dia de los Muertos at night to the Panteón, the cemetery, where everyone goes. If you have anyone buried, that's what you do on Dia de los Muertos in Oaxaca. You go to tend the graves, to decorate them with flowers and so on. And walking around, well, I saw so many things, but here's an incident that really stood out for me. There was a family gathered around a gravestone. They'd clearly decorated. It was all decorated with flowers and balloons and dolls. And I looked at the name, a little girl's name. I knew it was a little girl because I did the math, as one does when one looks at a gravestone, and saw that she had died at the age of about 8, about 20 years before. This family was gathered round. Several young adults I could see, so probably her siblings, and older people, maybe her parents and grandparents. They were having a picnic. There was a beautiful blanket spread out, and they were all gathered around in a circle, and one of the people in the circle was this departed, beloved little girl, represented by her gravestone and the dolls that were there. It's a solemn place, the Panteón on Dia de los Muertos, but it's also a fiesta, the most joyful kind of fiesta, because people are there with everybody they love, the living and the dead. They're as much a part of the family as they can possibly be, given that they cannot walk and talk and hug and move on past the age of 8 or whenever it is they died. My concern for everybody is, are you in the culture, the religion, the community, the family that you need around you when you are dealing with grief? I'm much more of a Oaxaca than an Abervan type in how I process my emotions. But people come in all kinds. And the important thing is, if you're an Abervan, is not talking about it and just taking a deep breath and moving on a good way for you to deal with your grief. Because if not, you're going to have to find your community. You're going to have to find another way. And if in Oaxaca you really wish you could live like that, and you don't want to go to the Panteón and have bright colors and people parading, it might be a good day to take a couple days out of town. There are so many ways to mark our grief. And they're all about love. Because grief is all about love. The memory box that Kat told us about, that's one way to make sure that we deal with our grief, which is to say, make sure to keep that love in our lives, the ability to love, not only that person that we've lost, or that animal, or that place, or that ability, or that job, or that relationship, whatever it is that we have lost. Not only to hold them as part of our lives, but to keep our hearts open to more love. Because grief is one of the expressions of love, and when we block it, when we shut it off, we are blocking a channel between ourselves and love. As Richard Osman says, a day of death like this one, the days of all souls. They're days when we weigh our relationship with love in our bare hands. So what is the relationship we want with love? All that grief in Aberfan in 1966 and down the years to today. It's about love of playmates, love of siblings, of students, of children, of nieces and nephews, of colleagues, of neighbors, of a town that would never be the same. It's about love. And however we grieve, we need to grieve in a way that acknowledges that love, that opens our hearts to that love at a time that it is just so, so hard to be open. Because of all the pain that comes roaring in, even when we look at photos or speak someone's name. Many, many ways to do it. Some light candles privately at home on special anniversaries. Some look through wedding albums. Some talk to the people that they have missed and loved. Just as long as we welcome grief. Yeah, welcome it. It's an unwelcome, unwanted guest. But it comes hand in hand with love. This is given beautiful voice by the poet Denise Levertov in her poem, Talking to Grief, the way she imagines this unwanted guest. Ah, grief, I should not treat you like a homeless dog who comes to the back door for a crust, for a meatless bone. I should trust you. I should coax you into the house and give you your own corner, a worn mat to lie on, your own water dish. She says to grief, you think I don't know. You've been living under my porch. You long for your real place to be readied before winter comes. You need your name, your collar and tag. You need the right to warn off intruders, to consider my house your own, and me your person, and yourself my own dog. May we each find a way to welcome grief so that we are as open to love as ever, maybe even more.